Welcome back to the Tim Graham Show, Highbrow Sports Talk. Here with my crooked co-host Mike Rodak of ESPN.com, Buffalo News senior columnist Jerry Sullivan. In-studio guest Lindsay D'Arcangelo, always great to have her here with us. Jonah Bronstein handling the technical stuff when it comes to the audio.
Remember, I used to call this the
high. I'm sorry, the video, and Bobby Rosati handling the audio.
And interrupting as always. Remember, I used to talk about the greatest collection of intellectual, you know.
Yes.
Whatever in here. She raises that.
Upgrade.
Yeah. All right.
Big upgrade.
Score.
So we're, anyway.
So Jerry, just to reset, in case people are joining us, we were talking about, I guess, for lack of anything else, misogyny in sports, and especially when it comes to younger female athletes in light of what's going on with USA Gymnastics and the Larry Nassar scandal. He was sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison on top of the 60 he was already going to serve.
Just to cut in, the United States Olympic Committee has called upon all of the directors for USA Gymnastics to resign today.
Good.
They sent an open
letter.
Wonderful.
Excellent. And then we can get into also the, you know, the need for the NCAA to, I think, grandstand and jump in on this situation. I know, but it's not an NCAA issue. And well, we can talk yeah, about that. Yeah. But Jerry, Jerry's daughter was going to be a Buffalo Jill. She had made the team right before the whole thing disbanded. And so I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Doesn't have anything to do with the gymnastics thing, but we were just talking about the misogyny that's in sports where little girls sometimes and adult women, as your daughter was when she made the team, have these expectations of being sexy or acting in ways that boys don't have to do.
Yeah, I had mixed feelings about that. She never wanted to be a cheerleader in school, and she didn't went into that because a friend told her, hey, we should try this. She was a dance major. But I had obviously mixed feelings. First of all, the idea that my daughter would be cheering for the Bills is it might actually qualify as irony, which is misused all the time. And that she would be out there wiggling her ass around, you know, in front of men. And that, as we know, the other stuff, as a union guy, I think it was what they did was great to challenge the teams for basically abusing them and not paying them what they're worth and making them do all these things for nothing. And they're just supposed to think it's so great for their careers to be able to make $4 an hour, you know, going out and dressing in skimpy costumes and representing NFL teams.
And she
so
was
in that way, I'm glad that it went down that way, and she never had to go out and do it.
And she was on the Bandits dance team.
She was on
team
the Bandits,
also,
which is kind of a lower level.
But it's dance. But she got into it for dance because she was a dancer, right?
But still, the Bandits had a calendar. And
was she disappointed that it didn't work out with the Jills? Like that she didn't even get on the field?
She kind of was, but then she ended up leaving. She went to Vegas. She does some dancing out there and waitressing. So, but it wasn't like she was crushed by it. The first time she went out there and it was 12 degrees and dressed like that, she would have said, I'm out of here.
Now, to clarify also, when you say she's got the Vegas dancing, she's a showgirl style dancer, not other kind of Vegas.
No, she's not on the pole or anything. I mean, come on. I hope none of my family's out there. But look, she makes money waitressing in a bikini in one of her jobs at the Mandalay and does very well. So what about that? You think that if you show up in a burlap sack with a $500 bottle of Dom, you're getting a $100 tip? Maybe if you just dress in a pantsuit like Clinton,
right,
you get a nice tip. But I would think, guys have been drinking all day in Vegas, and you got high heels and a bikini, you might get a decent tip. So I'm thinking she's doing well. But yeah, am I conflicted about it a little bit? Yes. Sorry, all you friends of hers out there, but she's a higher level.
And you've discussed this with her before. This isn't as though she would be hearing from her father about this sports radio 1270.
I think she's a little conflicted about it a little bit.
And there's always a fine line there because let's take a fitness model, for instance, or an Instagram model, of which there are many. And I think their argument would be, look, I spend all this time working out and eating right, and I have my body look like that, and I want to show it off, and I have self-respect, and I have self-esteem, and I feel good about myself, and I don't mind people seeing that. There's self-confidence, and I think that that's one end of it, but then there's also the, are you just doing it for people to look at you? and for people to get their own pleasure from that.
I want to quickly...
So it's, I think there's a motive aspect of this too. But in the case of gymnastics, when you have teenage girls or even younger, I mean, I don't think that having them dress...
They don't have... They're too young to
right.
make that choice.
Right.
They're too young
First
to decide,
of all, yeah.
decide that.
Right.
They're too young.
I don't think it's self-confidence having them dress like that. I think there's a deeper... For people to look at them, that's more of what's going on there.
Well, you guys kind of just made my point that I ran over here to make, but I think it's a completely different conversation when you're talking about adults,
right.
in whether it's in the service industry or professional sports, and minors, because these are professional sports, being a waitress really at a lot of different, well, it, a waitress is, my point is it's an entertainment product.
Right.
And sex appeal is part of what these entertainment products are selling. And as long as they're a little bit upfront about it and not exploiting people that don't want to be put into these positions, it's a lot different than
right.
with 14,
exploiting
15
minors.
Totally.
Minors.
And that's a totally different thing. So I don't know. I think there's not – the parallels aren't really there between adults and pro leagues and some of these younger outfits.
Right. Thanks, John.
But I think some of that does trickle down, though, where – there are adult women doing X, and then at the younger levels, those athletes or those people in general see that happening above them.
That's true. I guess any young athlete is trying to emulate an older right. professional athlete. So, yeah, I guess mm-hmm. that's something.
Or they go on Instagram consider. And they see stuff like
Here's
that.
Here's from the comments. This is shared from the Facebook comments. This is all a quote, by the way. As soon as I say, quote, I'm sorry, who's the retard who used the word subservient when describing a cheerleader's role in relation to the boys who are at the same age in the same school? First off, great way to start your point. Mm-hmm. Number two, that's exactly what subservience is. When mm-hmm. you are the same age in the same at the same school, but your job is to make the boys the focus and put them up on the pedestal and worship them. And that's not to say that the girls themselves are worse. They're being told by their cheerleading coach or the coach of the football team, hey, let's get this pep rally together so we can exalt these boys before we send them out into quasi-battle against our arch rival. So let's get the band together and let's pull for our boys. Now go ahead and decorate their locker, put the streamer on there, because they're more important than you. Are the boys then going to go decorate the girls' locker? No, they don't.
Yeah, look, I was going to jump on that when you talked about it before and take it to the next level. Major colleges, with not the women actually are there to service them, mm-hmm. have sex with them, or at Louisville, take them to a house with hookers. Is that subservient?
A little bit.
This guy's a clown from Word One.
You're teaching these girls at a young age.
Attention.
These are the young girls at a young age that your job is to make sure that these boys feel important.
Oh, and guess what? I have to have my weekly reach into politics. The President of the United States paid off a hooker $130,000.
Porn star,
and it's
Jerry.
Not even
porn star, Jerry. Come on, get
but
your facts
right. She was a porn star, Stormy Weather or whatever her name is.
When you
and
do it on camera, it's not prostitution.
My point is, we talked about the Nassar story not getting really play on Twitter
it's
for a week.
Attention.
We're in a culture where the president paying off a porn star is people are saying, well, it's just the president.
You know what?
I'm not making a connection or anything, but maybe there's something about the culture here that's just a little bit wrong.
The fourth biggest story in the hour block that I watched CNN earlier this morning was children getting shot and killed
right.
in Kentucky.
Yeah, I was going crazy last night. We've come to that.
That's the 11th school shooting
11th.
Of the year. And what we're not even...
this year.
Mid-January of this year. Of this year. Of 2018.
So about every 3 days, we get a school... We get a school shooting.
But you know what was interesting? Because I told my wife a few days ago or last week, I go, yeah, we haven't had a big school shooting lately. And she goes, shut up. I go, I'm just saying, it seems like it's been a while. And I didn't realize there'd been 10. Now, a couple were suicides and guns didn't kill anybody, but the guns are there on school property in every case. And it's like, well, that's a whole other conversation here, because I wouldn't want to have the NRA pull its advertising from our show.
Let's pull back real quick and get back into, while you're still here, Jerry, because I know you have a lot of thoughts. You've dealt with the NCAA. You've covered the NCAA for a long time. Let's switch back to the Larry Nassar controversy at there's no controversy about it other than the fact that Michigan State is backing the guy and is showing its through its regents, trustees, administration, that they're, some of them are even kind of backing him. You were saying, Lindsay, that that's even the case, that some of them have hinted. But the president is not going to step down. No. And the NCAA has said it's going to investigate, which I think is a bit of overkill because this isn't an NCAA issue. This should just be a common sense issue. The NCAA, this isn't an NCAA program. Now, there are ways that we can debate that. I like that the NCAA is going to do it and punish Michigan State all you want, but I just think it's a bit of grandstanding.
But was he
by
treating
the NCAA.
Athletes under NCAA sports?
Yes.
That could be part of it.
Yes, he was.
Then, yeah.
And but I agree with Tim. I feel like it's a bit of showmanship on their part right now. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to do our part. Well, where were you?
This is the easy part.
18 months ago, when this was coming to the forefront, that's what people don't realize. This has been going on for almost 2 years.
Right.
This entire horrific story. And now, after 190 survivors have come forward, some of them shared their victim statements, some of them didn't. Now you're going to say, oh, we're going to investigate?
Yeah, the okay. more punishment, the better. I'm okay with that, but it is just a bit disingenuous for the NCAA with all of its problems that it has direct control and oversight of, that this is the thing it wants to jump in late on.
I can't take the NCAA seriously because they're basically in business with major college sports. So anything they do is, to me, a little bit disingenuous, a lot disingenuous. And I was going to call you Darcy. Lindsay said earlier, it's about the money. On some level, it's always about the money. And how many of these things have to happen? Penn State, now Michigan State, these horrific stories. And what's the bottom line of all of them? Overempowered people in sports cultures with too much money at stake. Mm-hmm. It was too much at stake.
Their reputation. That's pretty much what they didn't want to soil, was the reputation of Michigan State. Reputation over children's safety, their lives. I mean, some of these girls committed suicide. Some of these girls are going to be in therapy the rest of their lives.
You're talking about the boys at Penn State?
Yeah.
It's the same. I was thinking Penn State when you said all of that. How many lives were destroyed by who are the coaches?
Jerry Sandusky.
By Sandusky. Maybe not 190, but probably hundreds.
Yeah,
at least 100.
There's a lot.
Were there suicides? I don't know. But and Paterno's made out to be some victim in all of this. And I mean, I think he did a lot of good things, but he just... thing grew up to be too big, bigger than him.
Well,
and they're protecting that institution rather than
why
him.
Do we do that, though? Why do we put these sports programs and these coaches and on such a high pedestal that when they commit acts that a regular Joe Schmo off the street would be, you know, stoned for, there's all these questions about nowhere. Like, Paterno still, you go in...
I don't think it's just sports, though, Lindsay. Jerry mentioned the Catholic Church earlier, right. And it's not also in it's
You're
any
right.
school. You
Politics.
Know, got, yeah. schools. A lot of times, I had an art teacher at my high school who everybody heard the rumors about him, and he would get a little too flirtatious with the students, and we would always wonder, and then we would occasionally hear, you know, he came from some other school district where he had a problem, and then eventually, and this was a few years after I graduated, he approached a student and got fired. And ended up going to yet another school. And this is in the 80s or early 90s. He would have gotten fired from my school in the early 90s. And he just went off to a different school in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you get shuffled around. And you mentioned it during the first segment, Lindsay, about you know only getting 8 years or whatever Nassar would have gotten if not for these extra things being brought up. He would have probably gotten out with time, you know, with on good behavior or whatever.
Yep.
Maybe even had something reduced at some point. I'm not sure how it works, but pedophiles get out of jail all the time. They don't spend the rest of their lives in jail. And it's a condition / illness, however you want to call it, that is considered by many to be incurable. They have no choice. And they have compulsions that they can't handle. And they can go to treatment, and they can try to, you know, keep it under wraps, but there's no cure for it. And so what we constantly do is take these pedophiles and put them right back out in society, and what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to police them ourselves. They'll put them on a sex offender list, and you can punch in your zip code and find out which houses you're supposed to stay away from, but it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And that's why you end up with these little enclaves of sex offenders that are all living together because there are only so many places they can live. They're generally broke because they can't keep a job or because they were in jail and they're fresh out. And then they end up in these places because they have to be so many yards away from a school and so many yards away from this and that and the other, or churches and whatever. So they find these government-assisted places that will take them. And so there's eight of them living in the same apartment complex. And so you're not, anyways, it's a mess. And we have, this isn't a leap for me. This is something I've given a lot of thought about, and it's hits close to home to me. I have my own Me Too story that I won't share here because it's going to end up as content next to my five thoughts on the Bills or whatever the hell this thing is going to end up at. And it's a little more it has a little more gravity in my life than that. But we have all these people who are in prison because of smoking too much weed. And if you want to keep those prisons going and you can't afford to let all the people out who are in jail because of their drug charge, ship them out and put all the pedophiles in. I've talked to FBI agents who've told me, Tim, if we spent nothing but our time catching pedophiles, people who have child pornography, people who are into these things on video or whatever, all the different child predators that we have out there, we would have no time to do anything else. It is such a big problem that they nibble at it. And occasionally they catch a Larry Nassar and they put him on, and this is their, don't do this because
this is what'll
happen to you. Yeah. But the thing is that they don't go after the guy down the street who, you know, likes to have, you know, invite the kid or give the kid down the street a candy or a pack of baseball cards or something.
It wasn't even the FBI or the authorities in general who uncovered Larry Nassar. Mm-hmm. It was the Indy Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Investigative reporting.
Right.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm.
How's that for a plug? And the other side of it, too, is he had so many enablers. He didn't act on this alone. And that's another aspect of this story is so many people turned a blind eye. For whether it was for, you know, to save the reputation of the school or for their gymnastics, Twin Star was the main place to go.
Twice Star.
So the owners of that people helped him whether knowingly or not.
Yeah, or if they ignored it.
Now Jerry's got to leave.
I know. My head's spinning. My head is spinning.
Thank you for joining us for as long as you can, Jerry.
Yeah. We'll have that basketball show at some point. Yeah.
We're going to have to change the subject at some point. But Jerry, you're a deep thinker. I'm not saying that sarcastically, and I wanted you in on this conversation. So,
thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
All right.
Buffalo News senior columnist Jerry Sullivan. He's got to go. The rest of us are staying.